So I'd like to thank you very much for joining with us this day. It's frosty cold here in Illinois where I am. Hopefully it's warmer wherever you are this day. Certain the Lord will be wherever. I did make an outline that you could print out today, and it does have quite a few fill-in-the-blanks on it that are helpful in understanding one of the concepts that we're talking about today. So if you want to print that out, you could do that off of the website. We are not going to get together on Sunday morning this week because the temperature is too low. The national news was saying 30 below zero, and that's just too cold to ask people to come out, too dangerous. So we'll try to get back together next week. So we're diving into the book of Acts, seeking this life and the spirit that Paul and these others experienced at that time. This message is for February 7th of 2021. My Bible subtitles it The Sons of Sceva, and it's in Acts chapter 19, and we will start at verse 11 and go through verse 20. When I started looking at it, I gave the outline a subtitle, The Holy Spirit is at Work. Point 1, Holy Spirit did amazing miracles through Paul. Point 2, some Jews were driving out evil spirits. And point 3, people honored the Lord Jesus. So my outline, The Holy Spirit is at Work. Again, on point number one, I chose not to put a the in front of Holy Spirit, thinking that that's his name. His first name is Holy, his last name is Spirit. So to always put a the before it makes it seem impersonal. I wouldn't put a the in front of Paul, or a the in front of Jesus, or a the in front of Wilmer. Why would I put a the in front of the Holy Spirit if he is a personal entity? But he was doing amazing things in and through the life of Paul, and there were some Jews that were trying to make money driving out evil spirits, and there were people that honored the Lord Jesus. So I decided to read the last verse first and think about it. It's Acts 19, verse 20 will be our last verse, and it says this, "The word of the Lord spread everywhere. It became more and more powerful," the end. So that's the conclusion of the scripture. The word of the Lord spread everywhere. It became more and more powerful. Now then, think about it. Would you say that statement is true for us today in our generation? If you looked around in 2021, would you say the word of the Lord is gaining power and the word of the Lord is spreading? If you live where I do, you wouldn't be in reality if you said that's true. Where I live, evil seems to be what's spreading more than the word of the Lord. And lies seem to be what's spreading more than the word of the Lord. And deception and greed and selfishness. Not the word of the Lord. Is it true at that time and place? I think so. Luke recorded it for us here in chapter 19 of Acts that that was true in that generation. This week we've been reading and studying or listening to Exodus, and I am absolutely loving in the morning my first cup of Starbucks, and I'm listening to the book of Exodus because the guy who reads it pronounces all of the names of the places correctly, all the names of the people correctly. Oh, it's wonderful. Well, it was true then in Exodus that God was doing amazing things and the word of the Lord was spreading. Actually, this week we listened to God dictate to Moses the word of God. So Moses was the one God worked through to produce some amazing events back then. You got to believe parting the Red Sea or calling in locusts or flies or frogs. Frogs would have been fun. But the miraculous things that Moses got to do. And it got me thinking that the first time God sent his word and gave us his covenant that they're looking at Mount Sinai, he did miraculous things. Well, now, the new revelation that we're looking at in Acts, this book of translation, God is doing the same things. He's doing amazing things to document and get people's attention to this new change. In our scripture today, the Holy Spirit used Paul to produce major miraculous events. What do these two men's lives at different times say to us today in our time? Moses, first covenant. Today, Paul, second covenant. Last covenant. What do those two men's lives say to us about miraculous events? Let's start with first things first. God does not change. God does not change. His actions can be different at different times, but he never changes. The purpose of special signs and wonders at that time in Acts was to confirm God's new revelation, the resurrected Jesus Christ. Paul and other apostles had a unique miracle-working power to spontaneously heal incredibly sick people and even raise the dead. We look at Paul today, but Peter could do that, James did that, others did that, John did that. They had this incredible power. I'm not saying that God cannot do miracles today. I'm not saying God cannot or does not do miracles today. There are people that I read that said that was a special time and God doesn't do that anymore. I don't think that's correct. What I'm trying to say is that God worked through Moses, God worked through Paul, God worked through Jesus to produce miracles. The fact of miracles is always possible. Jesus is the full and final revelation of God's prediction in the Old Testament. When we looked at Acts 2:22 earlier, it said, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man who God had approved. God did miraculous wonders and signs among you through Jesus. You yourself know this is true." The end. So in Acts 2:22, it says, Jesus of Nazareth was a man approved by God. Jesus was a man. He was all man. And he had God's approval. And God did miraculous signs and wonders through Jesus. The same way, Moses was a man who had God's approval. And God did miraculous wonders and signs through him. Peter, Paul, James were just men that had God's approval. And God did wondrous signs among them. Now, what do you see here? What do you see? I want us to read Acts 19:11-20. It goes something like this. God did amazing miracles through Paul. Even handkerchiefs and aprons that had been touched by him were taken to those who were sick. When this happened, their sicknesses were healed and evil spirits left them. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus to set free those who were controlled by demons. They said, "In Jesus' name, I command you to come out. He is the Jesus that Paul is preaching about." Seven sons of Sceva were doing this. Sceva was a Jewish chief priest. One day, the evil spirits answered him, "I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit jumped on the seven sons of Sceva. He overpowered all seven of them, and he gave them a terrible beating. They ran out of the house naked and bleeding in many places. The Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus heard about this, and they were overcome with fear. They held the name of the Lord in high honor. Many who believed now came and openly admitted evil they had done. A number of those who had practiced evil magic brought their scrolls together, and they set them on fire out in the open. They added up the value of the scrolls. They found that that would have taken more than two lifetimes to earn that money that the scrolls were worth. The word of the Lord spread everywhere. It became more and more powerful. That's the end. So, our outline, the Holy Spirit as work. Holy Spirit did amazing miracles through Paul. I want to try to make a point here. The apostles were not the source of their own sufficiency. We are representatives of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Any and all miracles were ultimately done by God's power, not theirs. We are not apostles, but whatever power we have comes from our Savior, Jesus Christ. A on your outline, Paul's sweaty clothes healed sicknesses. Paul's sweaty clothes healed sicknesses. And your big blank is sicknesses. And I wonder, why? His sweaty headpan or his sweat-soaked apron healed. Why the sweat of his brow, the sweat of his work? Why did that heal people? Isn't that kind of odd? Of all the things God could have chosen, a working man, at the end of the day, his headband, his hat, his clothes are sweaty. I have friends who have several t-shirts in their construction trucks and change t-shirts several times during the day because in the summertime, they're just soaked. And by the time you get them home, they don't smell so well. And those are the things that they took to heal these people. A tent maker's sweaty work apparel. Why? What do you think? Was there something about the curse in Genesis of Adam, you will by the sweat of your brow? I don't know. I discovered a rather interesting programming note that I couldn't help but share with you. They say that Paul did his teaching and his discipling work from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's a pretty good work schedule. Start at 11, quit by 4. Did you know this? A Greek manuscript adds a really nice touch. It sounds like an additional detail that an eyewitness might say. As I read it, Paul taught in the hall of Tyrannus from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. In Ephesus, all work stopped at 11 a.m., and did not begin again till late afternoon because of the heat. More people were sound asleep at 1 p.m. than 1 a.m. Let that soak in. There were more people sound asleep at 1 o'clock in the afternoon than at 1 o'clock in the morning. That would make sense with what we learned earlier, that Ephesus was known as a rowdy party town. If there were more people awake at 1 o'clock in the morning, well, of course there's going to be a party. Now, I found a new resource, a man named Vance Hanover. He wrote this, quote, "We say that Elijah had power, but he had no power in himself. He simply was there in the place of power." We might say, what power that radio has, or what power that electric light has, but they are very frail contraptions. They're simply in a place of power, connected with the power source. Look at it this way. When a police officer stops you, or more often me, as you drive down the street, it's not his strength that does it. You could just drive right over him or her. It is not his or her authority that makes you stop. It's because he and or she represents something greater than their self. So here's the bottom line. We are nothing in ourselves, but when we are in the place of God's purpose, we have his power. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's the end of my new quote guy. B, on your outline, Paul's sweaty clothes cause evil spirits to leave. Paul's sweaty clothes cause evil spirits to leave people. And your blank is evil spirits. It's very important that we take note what the Bible says here. When you read Acts 19:11, it's very clear. God did amazing miracles through Paul. That's the end. God did amazing miracles through Paul. God does it. It's never the person that does it. It's always God that does it. Do you remember the illustration of the radio and the light bulb a little bit earlier? In Jesus' day, they did not have those. So he used what they had to illustrate the very same truth. It's recorded in John 15, verses 1 through 9. Jesus is speaking. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Remain joined to me, and I will remain joined to you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain joined to the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain joined to me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains joined to me, and I to him, he will bear a lot of fruit. You can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain joined to me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and dries up. These branches are picked up, they are thrown into fire and burned. If you remain joined to me, and my words remain in you, ask anything you wish, and it will be given to you. When you bear a lot of fruit, it brings glory to my Father. It shows that you are my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now remain in my love. The end. Did you notice how often Jesus said this? If you remain in me. 7 times he says that in 8 verses. What's the point he's trying to get across? Consistently he says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. If you remain attached to the vine, you will produce much fruit. On and on. But 7 times in 8 verses, if you remain in me. Sadly, and unfortunately, many times we are like sheep that wander away from our shepherd and his other sheep. It is surprisingly easy to fulfill the prophecy that is written in Isaiah 53:6. It says, all of us, like sheep, have wandered away from God. All of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has placed on his servant the sins of all of us. The end. You see, the truth is that all of us tend to wander away. All of us tend to not remain attached, remain in the vine. Sadly, it's easy to do. If this is you today, repent. Turn back to God. He'll welcome you with open arms back into the family and reconnect you, graft you back into the vine, plug you back into the power source so that your radio and your light bulb work. Turn to him. Don't continue the way you're going. Number 2 on our outline, some Jews were driving out evil spirits. There's a lot of truth in this section of scripture right here. As I was researching and doing my due diligence for this message, one thing stood out prominently in almost all of my resources. The commentary they did on the evil spirits. 90% of what people talked about this section of scripture was about the evil spirits. And I thought, that's kind of odd. One would do well to recognize the source of most trouble is Satan. And the source of our victory and triumph is in yielding to the Savior. So I have 2 S words for you. the name Satan, and the name Savior. One would do well to recognize that most of your trouble is connected with Satan, and any victory or any triumph you have is through yielding to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the Holy Spirit, his friends, and Satan and his evil spirits. What is your understanding and belief regarding these spiritual beings? What do you know? What do you understand? What do you believe regarding these spiritual beings? Is this a true statement? Are there really spiritual beings? Is there really a great spiritual realm and a great physical realm? It's easy to say there's a physical realm, isn't there? But is there really a spiritual realm? Well, of course there is. But not everybody believes it because they can't see it. I read a story about a mental hospital that many years ago devised an unusual test to determine when the patients were ready to go back into the world. And I thought, this is a great illustration to use in helping people understand dealing with demons. So, in this mental hospital, they had a test. They brought a candidate for the release into a room where a water faucet was left on so that the sink was overflowing and pouring water out all over the floor. You get the picture? The person that they think might be ready to go back into the world, they bring him into the room, the faucet's running, the sink's overflowing, pouring water on the floor. Then they hand the patient a mop and told them to mop up the water. Now, if the patient had enough sense to turn off the faucet before mopping up the water, they were ready to be released. But sadly, many times, they would just keep mopping and mopping and mopping while there's more water running. So what's my point? As Christians, all of us face the world in which we live in and are confronted with the need to do battle with the evil that dominates it. That's the overrunning faucet. But like the patients in the mental hospital, until we realize where the source of evil is, we'll always be cleaning up the mess. What we need to do is, first of all, turn off the water so that we can clean up the mess. We need to stop the demonic evil influence so that we can clean up our lives or their lives. To deal with evil that's all around us, we need a mop and a bucket. Well, that's the spiritual armor God has provided for us. He provided us with all of the tools in the book of Ephesians that Paul will write to these same people on how to deal with this problem. So let's expose some of the evil spirits. A, exposing evil spirits can cause sickness. Cause sickness. This is not saying that all sicknesses are of this enemy, but some can be. When Jesus was here, he made it clear that sometimes he healed people who were sick, and sometimes he dealt with demons. Two different things. B on your outline. Exposing evil spirits, they can be cast out. They can be cast out. Jesus has defeated his enemy, and he has given all power on heaven and earth. And he gave this power to us. Evil spirits can be cast out. C on your outline. Exposing evil spirits. They are controlled by Satan. They are controlled by Satan. Satan functions in deceit and fear. His leadership is the same. Satan can only be at one place at a time, just like you and I. So this restricts his effectiveness. The demonic army is not a smooth-working thing because of the nature of its members. Stop and think that through. The army of evil is not a smooth-working machine. Why? Well, because your commander may be a demonic spirit that lies all the time, so he never tells you the truth. Your sergeant may be an unforgiving spirit or a vengeful spirit. So you're always fighting among yourselves in this army. D on your outline. Exposing evil spirits, they have great strength. They have great strength. This one man beat bloody seven men. ripped off their clothes, and kicked them out naked. Think about it. One guy beat up seven people, ripped all their clothes off, and sent them out naked. That's pretty good strength. E on your outline, exposing evil spirits, they work through sorcery. They work through sorcery. This morning when I was listening to Exodus 22, one of God's command was, anyone who commits sorcery should be killed. So in Exodus, God is saying, you're going to have a problem with sorcery, and here's how you deal with it. Kill them. In the ancient world, magic or sorcery was a way of controlling various evil spirits. Christians in Paul's day were wearing amulets or exciting magical things or doing incantations or possessing scrolls of magic formulas and released. I read that there are still some of the Patmos scrolls from Ephesus around today in the evil, dark world. One could command the spirits to manifest themselves, to provide protection, to protect, or to provide success, or to compel one of the opposite sex to be attracted to them. There were spells for all of those things. They're still there. F on your outline, exposing evil spirits, they cannot stop committed saints. They cannot stop committed saints. Committed saints is the key. This encounter with an evil spirit gave people the fear that was healthy. There's a healthy fear that comes from God's supernatural judgment being released. Have you ever experienced this before? Have you experienced it recently? G on your outline, exposing evil spirits. They cannot stand before Scripture. They cannot stand before Scriptures. Acts 20. So the word of the Lord was growing mighty and prevailing. At that time, in that day, that was true. As we walk through Exodus 20, it was true then also. Would that be said of us today? Point number three on your outline, people honored the Lord. What do you believe about evil spirits? What do you believe? What do you believe about Ouija boards, tarot cards, witches, warlocks, ghosts? What do you believe? They are real. It is real. I want to read Acts 19, 18 to 20, but I want to read it out of the Message translation. And there was one of these that caught my attention. Many of the people who thus believe came out of the closet and made a clean break with their secret sorceries. I just love the come out of the closet deal. All kinds of witches and warlocks came out of the woodwork with their books and spells and incantations and made a huge bonfire of them. Someone estimated their worth at 50,000 silver coins. In such a way, it became evident that the word of the master was now sovereign and prevailed in Ephesus. The end. Why do you think non-believers would use the name of Jesus to cast out demons? Why would a non-believer try to do that? Why do you think demons would not respond to these men? If you're not a committed born-again believer, the name of Jesus is nothing magic. It's Jesus in you that flows through you that gives you the power to deal with these evil spirits. What does it say about the power of Jesus' name? Well, Jesus does have all power. Why would the events of verse 14 to 18 cause the events of verse 18 to 19? Why would the events of, say, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches cause a demon to say, well, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who the heck are you? A, believers were truly repentant. They had seen great power of evil. After seeing this, they turned to God as a better way. They turned to God. They were truly repentant. They turned to the way. That's what Christianity was called at that time. The way. In the year of our Lord 2021, I'm going to diligently try to learn a new life skill. What, you may ask? I'm going to try to learn to look for what is wrong. I'm going to try to learn how to do that, look for what's wrong. See, in my 70 years, I've discovered that people don't look at things the same. People don't look at things the way I do. What is normal for me is to only see what's right or correct. When I look at something, I see what's right. All my life, I've had lots of people who told me where I was wrong and what I was doing wrong, so I never really had to look for it. There was always somebody telling me where I messed up. But I look for what's right. And so I've discovered that I don't even see some words in my PowerPoint that have a red underline that are misspelled. I just don't see them. But I'm going to learn how to do that this year. Other people only see a mistake or what's wrong, and they never see what's right. They only see what's wrong and want to point out what's wrong. In the scriptures, there was someone who naturally, normally had to add up the value of the scrolls. There was somebody standing there, and they just naturally, normally had to calculate the value of those scrolls. I see this life pattern all the time. Someone will ask me, how many of those did you move out here? And I'll say, all of them? Well, you didn't count them? No, why would I count them? Doesn't matter. I just move them all from there to here. I don't need to know how many there are. You know, the sergeant would say, how many bullets did you fire? All of them. How many got left? All of them. It's not important to me to count all and inventory all that stuff. But to some people it is. The point I'm trying to illustrate here is we're all different. We're all different. And when we function together as a body, all the parts are there to make it work right. People who see just what's right are not better than people who see what's wrong. People who have the urgency to count beans, there's nothing wrong with that. We need bean counters. But it doesn't mean that the way you do it is right and the way the other person does it is wrong. So here's my big therefore. You ready for the quantum leap? Repentance will be different for each of us. Therefore, repentance will be different for each of us. Well, if each of us are different, obviously repentance is going to be different because we're not the same. The believers gave a wonderful testimony. That's B on your outline. B, the believers gave a wonderful testimony of life change, and your two big blanks are wonderful testimony. One thing I've noticed about repentance is that when someone puts skin into the game, they're very serious. You see this with the Super Bowl coming. You know, if you get on one of these gambling sites, you put skin in the game, which means you put money in it. Or if you were playing basketball in my half court in my driveway, oftentimes you put skin into the game because you got bloody knees or elbows from trying to get to the basket and being, you know, aggressively stopped. But you put skin in the game. You put something of value in it. When people are wonderfully repentant, they don't count the cost of money. They don't count what it's going to cost them in effort. They just do it. Acts 19:19 says, a number of those who practice evil magic brought their scrolls together. They set them on fire out in the open. They added up the value of the scrolls. They found that it would take more than two lifetimes to earn what the scrolls were worth. The end. Two lifetimes of work. 50,000 drachmas. Roughly the equivalent of 50,000 days work. 50,000 days wages was in that fire. That's a lot. For a blue collar boy like me, that's real money. I'll close with a quote from Chuck Swindoll. This is what Chuck wrote. What a dazzling bonfire that must have been. However, an even greater fire was blazing in the believers' hearts. They realized their worldly attachments and committed themselves to the Lord. As with the Ephesians, the Holy Spirit searches out and exposes our hidden stories and our worldly souvenirs. When he does this, we also must confess their existence, disclose their preoccupation with them, and then destroy them. Admittedly, the bonfire is painful and costly, but it is also freeing and gloriously life-changing. The end. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so very much for this section of Scripture and for the truth that your Son and his life through Paul and these others have brought. May our end result be like these people here, that when the Holy Spirit searches out and exposes these hidden things in our lives, we would then bring them out and confess them. And we would disclose how preoccupied we'd be with them. And we would destroy those bridges. We would burn the bridges behind us. We would burn the ships so there's no chance of going back. We ask for that victory in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
A home, eternal home, but for now I walk this broken world. You walked it first, you know our pain, but you sure hope can rise again up from the grave. Abide with me. Abide with me. Don't let me fall. And don't let go. Walk with me. And never leave. Ever close. God, abide with me. There in the night, Gethsemane, before the cross, before the nails, overwhelmed, alone you prayed, you met a sin, our suffering, and bore our shame. Abide with me, abide with me. And up ahead, eternity, we'll weep no more and sing for joy. Abide with me. We'll weep no more and sing for joy. Abide with me. Abide with me. Abide.